I just want to focus on one verse at the end of Surah Al-An'am, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and says, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Tell them, O Prophet of Allah, that my salat, my sacrifice, my living, my dying, it's all for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds. Now this attitude of bringing this verse into our lives, it is something that is life-changing. If a person focuses on this verse and says that I am going to make every aspect of my life in every way to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that person's life can change completely. And it doesn't mean that a person has to just neglect everything and just sit in a cave all day and worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But a person can go about his daily life and live his family life and yet do everything that he's doing, that he's already doing, and do it to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Of course, our ibadat, we do them already to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our salat, our sacrifice, our fasting, our recitation of Quran, our taraweeh, all that is supposed to be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي, my living and my dying, my life, every aspect of my life has to be to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even when I try to put food on the table for my family, I should regard it as a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I should regard it as a form of sadaqah that I am feeding my family. When you put food on the table for your family and you spend on your family, that is also regarded as a form of sadaqah. When I'm going to work and earning, I should intend that whatever I earn, I will use to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then even my going to work will become a form of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so on and so forth. A person eats his food and he thinks that I'm going to use the energy that I'm getting from this food and I'm going to do it to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to use that energy to recite more Quran, to make more qiyam, and to make more ibadah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then even that eating becomes a form of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this verse, actually, we should reflect upon it and we should try to change everything that we do to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we will see events in our life, or we will see that this verse can be a life-changing ayah and it can change our lives. In Surah Al-A'raf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses, and this happens throughout the Quran actually, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses the episode of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanding Iblis and the angels to prostrate in front of Adam alayhi salam, and we know the whole story, how Iblis, he refused, and then after that, you know, he provoked Adam alayhi salam and Hawa to eat from the forbidden tree, and they did. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes it in a different way, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us the means with which he provoked Adam alayhi salam and Hawa. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that he put into their hearts that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he prevented you from eating from this tree, that you would become malakain, illa an takuna malakaini aw takuna min al khalidin. That if you eat from this tree, what's going to happen is you're going to become, you're going to turn into angels, or you will become, you will have a life which is everlasting if you eat from this tree. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want these things to happen to you. So we can understand from this that instinctively human beings have been given these weaknesses. Weaknesses of power, weaknesses relating to wanting a long life. These things are basically programmed into us. That's why Adam alayhi salam, he was easily provoked by the shaitan when the shaitan used these tools against him. So then of course we know that he ate from the tree, and the result of this was that they were taken out from Jannah, and the clothing they had in Jannah, that was removed from them. And after this clothing was removed, this was the first time that they had spent their time in nakedness. They covered themselves, they started covering themselves with the leaves of Jannah. So we understand from this that it's not natural to be unclothed and undressed. The natural thing for all humans is to be clothed. Otherwise, Adam alayhi salam and Hawa would not cover themselves with trees to try to cover their awrah. So after discussing this episode, after which Adam alayhi salam is taken out of Jannah and Hawa is taken out of Jannah, and of course they made tawbah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted their tawbah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the children of Adam. And maybe the hint is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that, oh human beings, it doesn't matter how high you get, you are still the children of that Adam alayhi salam who was provoked by the shaitan, and he slipped up by the shaitan influencing him. So it doesn't matter how high you get up, there's always the chance that you will slip up and you will commit sins. So again and again Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses us using the words Ya Bani Adam. Ya Bani Adam, قَدْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكُمْ لِبَاسَ يُوَارِي سَوْآتِكُمْ وَرِيشَ وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ ذَلِكَ مِنْ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَذَّكَّرُونَ. Allah says, O Bani Adam, indeed we sent down for you a libas, a clothing. What was the purpose of the clothing? Yuwari sawatikum, so that you could cover your awra and cover your bodies with it. But after that Allah says, وَلِبَاسُ التَّقْوَى ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ. The clothing of taqwa, that is better for you. What does that mean? It means that outwardly, yes, we are supposed to cover ourselves. The men have their own awra and their own, own bodies to cover, and the women, they have their own bodies to cover. But internally also, we have to work on the libas of taqwa. Many people, they will wear the jalabiya, and like myself, wearing the clothes of the sunnah, but internally, they are completely hollow. And many women will be wearing the niqab and wearing the clothing which is Islamic on the outside, but internally they are also hollow and they have no fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they do not have that awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and despite that outward clothing and that outward appearance, they still continue to commit sins. So that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yes, the outward appearance is important, but make sure that you also work on the inside and try to correct that. After that Allah says again, Ya Bani Adam, La yaftinannakum shaytan kama akhraja abawaykum minal jannah yanzi'u anhuma libasahuma liyuriyahuma sawatihima. O Bani Adam, the shaytan should not make you slip up. Just like he made your forefathers, your parents, Adam and Hawa, and made them come out of Jannah, and he made them see their own nakedness, and made their clothes come off in Jannah, that same shaitan is still after you. And again the verse starts off with, Ya Bani Adam, O children of Adam, you are still the children of that Adam who was slipped up by the shaitan, so you don't make that same mistake again. After that, in the third verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Bani Adam, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ. O children of Adam, when you come to the masjid, then come in your whole zina, come in your beauty. Meaning that don't wear like old clothes and like sweaty t-shirts and your work clothes and so on. When you are coming to the masjid, make sure your appearance is good. You are looking good. You're smelling good. So that when you're worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not just a range of motions that you're going through. You are standing in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on top of that, you are standing amongst people who will be uncomfortable if you are smelling bad or looking bad. So, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ. Make sure you take your beauty in the masjid. And I have mentioned maybe this before, that we should, all of us, keep like kind of a jalabiya or something always in our cars. That when we're coming for work or something from work and we want to pray, we just put that over our regular clothes. So at least on the outward we have that a clean shirt on the outside, and on top of that this jalabiya, it kind of hides the awrah much more than regular work clothes. So you can put that into practice. I know many people do that already. It's something that you should try to implement. It's a very good idea to do. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, خُذُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدْ وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. Eat and drink and don't make israf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you so many blessings. He's given you food, He's given you drink, and so many different kind of varieties of food that is available for you. But it doesn't mean that you should make israf and extravagance in those things. Limit yourselves to what you need and don't be extravagant. Think of all of the food that is going to waste in the whole wide world, and think of how that could be used to feed the poor and hungry people throughout the world. Many people are dying of hunger and thirst, and we continue to waste the food that is on our tables. وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not like the people who make israf. So again, at the beginning of this verse is يَا بَنِي آدَمْ, O children of Adam. You're still the children of that Adam alayhi salam, who, despite being so close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, despite being created by the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he slipped up. So you, all children of Adam, don't slip up, don't make mistakes like this. There's always the possibility. But in this possibility, there is also the hope of reward. That we've been created with these weaknesses and the ability to commit sins. If we suppress these abilities and we suppress our nafs, we suppress our desires, we fight and combat the wasawis and the whispering of the shaitan, the result of this will be that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to reward us much more, and we can even get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than even the angels. Why? Because the angels, they don't have the ability to commit sins. They don't have any type of feeling of getting power or getting high or having any kind of position or any kind of evil thought doesn't come in their minds of the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we, despite having these things within us and despite having the nafs and the desires, we suppress them. This will become a means of closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that we have these weaknesses and we fight against those weaknesses, and despite that we get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and worship Him as we should be. Then of course Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will reward the people who do good. Inna Allaha la yudhi'u ajra al-muhsinin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never waste the reward of those people who do good. So with these weaknesses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises us great reward if we fight against those weaknesses that have been ingrained into us. So I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives us all the tawfiq to understand and practice what has been said and heard.